destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. Let's take a look. That's not just a description of something. That's a prediction. That's a prophecy, the setting, the fulfillment. Let's just lay it out this way. We're living in a world that is very unstable in terms of terror and fear from military powers. Let me just put it that way. Now, I am not one that gets into just dismal drudgery. It's just the way of life, but there is a setting, Scripture says. We were just enjoying some wonderful economic prosperity, really the last 3 years, and then 2020 turned around the corner and the pandemic hit and affected everything we knew instantly, just like that. Well, it's amazing how quickly that can change. Isn't that true? I remember when the Berlin Wall collapsed, and that was intriguing. I was just a young man when President Ronald Reagan was in charge as our president. And it just felt like Gorbachev, who was the premier or the president of the Soviet Union, seemed like the Soviet Union was losing strength and kind of dissolving. Everybody was saying, like, peace and safety, the nuclear threats are gone. What a great day that was. That was wonderful. I remember, and then all of a sudden, people started getting a little bit nervous. There were things earlier that was talked about, something, the doomsday clock in Chicago that was started in 1950. It just seemed like that doomsday clock was further and further from midnight. It was really great, kind of like we were having just previously with our current president. Man, everybody was excited. Man, economy was up. Jobs were flowing. It's particularly impressive how great is our nation. And at that time, when the Berlin Wall came down, people started saying, hey, we're safe. I remember there was talk about this one world order. Maybe we can all just now get along. And so America started to disarm itself. That was a little bit concerning a lot of people. What if something were to flare? I remember that we reduced our armies. This was prior to 9/11, and that we were reducing areas of our armies and our divisions. We reduced our armies, 28 divisions, down to 20. Our Air Force, 36 to 22. The Navy reduced the ships from 568 down to 387. And in the meantime, China was building their army. It was really an unusual setting. So I'm not wanting to get political here, but I'm just helping us to see that the element can be, once again, peace and safety. But what just happened to us? Let's go to number 11, prophecy. John wrote in the book of Revelation that an army of 200 million would march against Jerusalem in one day. Now, that's an amazing amount of military might. And Revelation 9, verse 16, can you see it there on your screen? Says, now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million, and I heard the number of them. 200 million. Now, the Apostle John describes an event, and right when that, at that time, the sixth trumpet blows, and then that fourth angel just takes off, and it's an amazing description. But I want to just highlight 200 million men. Really, at the time when we were de-escalating, America had 2.2 million men. So you can see the difference, 200 million men to 2.2. The developments, and I'm going to now change the term. Instead of fulfillment, let's just use the word developments. Can we do that? Prophecy or predictions to developments. Maybe we are leaning toward things. So we're going to be moving in that area, how things could be evolving or developing in that. So let's look at your screen there. It says developments. China has boasted it was able to produce an army of 200 million soldiers. You can see that now. I think they're right up to about 220 in the way of millions of men in their army. The element is incredible. How did John know that? How did he know that number? Well, the answer again, that there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets. Let's look at number 12. here we go. Bible reveals that a way of the kings from the east would march toward the battle of Armageddon. Let's highlight that a little bit. I'm still in the book of Revelation, chapter 16, verse 12. Can you see that? That prediction that is there says, then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. Now, what's happening there? The developments are this, that China's building a superhighway across Asia to Israel. Now, I'm sure in your studies of history, you've heard something called the Silk Road. The Silk Road was a road that really was well-worn and traveled, and how they brought silk from China to the Roman Empire. Now, that road is being developed once again, and China has developed their superhighway, and it's leading right to Israel. That's worth noting. Now, Xi Jinping, the president of China in 2013, had mentioned that they are now doing a double trade corridor, and they call it the Belt and Road Action. And that belt literally meaning that they are taking a look at encompassing land routes that are going right through the Middle East and addressing things that are involving Asia, Middle East, Europe, its neighbors, to highlight trade. The belt and road would then be the maritime routes that would be coming back into China. The goal, to improve trade relationships. But it's a large swath of land and capable of having a large army march right into Israel if and when that time of Armageddon begins. So it's important for us. So Moscow has reinstated, once again, it's worth noting, their draft. They developed that back in April of 2020 and April the 23rd, and they were actually dealing with draft dodgers. So Moscow is now developing their projects and their army. And they also have reinstated, just to let you know, something that's called dead hand. And that is something that Moscow put aside during the Cold War. And they went ahead now and said, we are now enacting, bringing it back into play. Dead hand involves where their military is completely obliterated and that their military leaders are either dead or unable to direct the battle. They literally, for example, push the button and all their nuclear armament just releases into society. If we're going to be obliterated, we're going to take everybody with us, called dead hand. So it's worth noting. And there's something that's out there now, not to become a fearmonger here, but there's something called an elliptic bomb. And Zechariah talks about that. That elliptic bomb is something that is now taken a look at by military mites that really vaporize people but leave structures in place, as opposed to the atomic explosion that just blows everything off its foundation and it wipes it out. But Zechariah chapter 14, verse 12 and verse 13, let me just read that to you because it does describe, an elliptic bomb. It says, and this shall be the plague from which the Lord will strike all the people who fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall dissolve while they stand on their feet. Their eyes shall dissolve in their sockets, and their tongues shall dissolve in their mouths. It's interesting to know, say, what is that all about? But it is worth noting, again, our prediction is when everybody says peace and safety, all of a sudden, something's going to happen. It's like, where are we going with all of this? So the U.S. intelligence told us back in when the 20s began how that there's going to be a number of third world nations, 24 of them, that could have the capacity to obtain nuclear warheads. And that's just kind of the world we're living in, that it would include Libya and Iraq and Syria and naturally Iran as well. We're on the docket for that. So peace and safety, the Bible says, one-third of the world will be destroyed in a massive Holocaust. Sorry to bring that up, but see, these are things that we just take a look at. And somehow, it always seems to circle around Israel. Let's look at number 13, and let's just deal with this element just for a little bit. The Bible says, it really talks about that the sun becoming hotter and hotter and scorching everyone with its fire. So let's just take a look. I don't know where you land with global warming, but the Bible says that the world will heat up. Let's just put it that way. Revelation 16, verse 8 and 9. Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and power was given to him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God, who has power over these plagues. And they did not repent and give him glory. So the developments, as you can see now on your screen, that scientists, really scientific study on global warming declares profound changes in climate everywhere on the earth. So when dealing with this, I could cite things that I pulled up. You can look it up. And you might say, well, what about some? We just know when things heat up, weather is very strange. It affects so many things. The tree lines start to change, and they talk about the polar ice cap, but we do know this, that there's a massive shift in weather patterns, and just reading just last weekend how that they're looking at desert, really, we're going to take a look at that, how that Death Valley, the desert itself, is going to have a record heat of 130 degrees, surpassing the last record 6 years ago, a 129.2. So they are recognizing there's heat that is coming. I like camping in the desert. We used to do that almost biannually. And going out with desert professionals, they would talk about, even 30 years ago, how the desert really was quite plush. And dealing with some of the dry riverbeds, the deadwood trees, the ironwood trees. It's amazing how they used to line the underground little currents of streams, but now the deserts are just hot and they're drying up. Not much more out there, so it's worth noting. You and I know we've seen and understood the increase in hurricane activity, tornadoes, killer tornadoes, and the fact happening with regards to even tornadoes now being spotted and seen in California, and then flooding taking place. Flooding is happening. We just last weekend in Balboa Peninsula, because high tide and some unusual events, just water rushing in with sand right there in the main street. But these are some unusual times that are happening, and all of us are always concerned when fire season hits in California, because we've been seeing some pretty massive, devastating fires here, especially on the western area of our nation, when the winds pick up, just wiping out just hundreds of thousands of acreage, a loss of life, and at times, loss of entire cities. So we just want to recognize it. Let me just highlight here. It's important. I think it's worth noting as we just kind of put our Bibles down here. I just think I got a little bit intense here, but I want us to reassure our hearts. God has given us promise, and there's always the plan. That's important for us. I think whenever we take a look at the Word of God, we always see how there are promises in Scripture, well over 3,000 promises, that are good for you, that are wonderful for those who call upon the name of the Lord. And I want to remind us of that. God is a God who knows how to tell what's going to happen. He knows. That's an amazing ability. He's God. But he also wants us to be aware how much he loves us and cares for us. But I do find that there are times, and this is probably now a word for you, because there are times that we just feel that we're confused about God's goodness, that if God is good, we have expectations of God. Those are our expectations, but he doesn't come through like we would like, and people become disrupted by that, and their hearts are injured. Don't let that happen to you. I'm speaking specifically to you that our Savior, really, he's going to give us a great life, but our lives were never intended. He never promised absolute perfection safety and security. It's important for us to always recognize that. There'd be those that would say, well, shouldn't our lives be better? Shouldn't they be easier? I gave my life to Jesus. He never promised that that would be the approach, because we're living in an imperfect world with people who don't fear God. And when we are in that environment or in that society, we will be affected. That's why we need to pray for all men. But I want to encourage you. There are those who would claim a promise when they go through a very difficult time, and it isn't fulfilled according to their expectation. Hang into God's word. Don't bail on that. Where else would you go except, Lord, I'm going to trust you. He will come through. God will come through. Here are some verses I will highlight for you, and that's Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Would you write that down? Hebrews 10, 23, which says, let us hold fast our confession of hope without wavering, because he who is promised is faithful. Here's another one, Hebrews 10, 36. Hebrews 10, 36 says, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. You are going to probably have to, and maybe you currently are, going through something you're enduring. It's not very easy, extremely difficult. And therefore, I want to encourage you, hold fast to that. And Hebrews 13, verse 5. Would you write that one down? God says, I will never desert you. I will never forsake you. That's important. He's accomplishing his purpose in you. I'm confident of that. God is working in you. Hold true. Just because you are claiming a verse and it's not being fulfilled according to your expectation, don't let the enemy rip you off. And don't let people's laugh at you or ridicule about your confidence in being a holy man or a holy woman or a young man or woman who wants to live mightily for God. Hang in there. Go big for the Lord. And remember then that Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, how that scripture says to trust in the Lord with all your heart. And be careful. Don't lean on your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him. He'll direct your path. I want to just close you. We started off with 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9 especially is important for us because we want to talk about the rapture. Remember how Psalm 103, verse 19 says that the Lord has established his throne in heaven and his sovereignty rules over all. So the Lord is going to be the ultimate victor, and he is in control over everything, and he cares for you. He loves you. And 1 Thessalonians 5, 9, remember, the word of God says, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me highlight this. This is important to me. I hang on to this. You should too. God has not appointed us to wrath. He has not appointed us to go through the tribulation. He's not appointed us to go through those things that are going to come upon the world after the rapture. Therefore, you be confident. He has not appointed you to wrath when God pours out his wrath on the earth. Tribulation is man going at man, but wrath from God, boy, that's even more destructive than people going at each other. And verse 10 goes on and it says, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. God is never late with his deliverance when we need him. And may I just invite you right now, God's desire is to live together with him. If you're with me now and you've held on to this message and you realize God's stirring your heart right now, then I want to pray with you to ask God to surrender your life now to him. Boy, that is the safest, greatest platform to be in. Lord, I want to live for you, and I want you to live in me. Would you pray this prayer with me right now? If somebody's with you in the room, just tell them, hey, quiet, quiet, I'm going to now pray and ask God to forgive me of my sins and come into my life. It goes like this: Dear Jesus, I believe in you. I know you died for the world's sins. I ask you now, forgive me of my sins. Come into my life to stay forever. Now, dear Lord, I surrender everything to you. May you use me for your glory, and I trust you now for eternal life in heaven with you. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer, would you reach out to me by going to office@hopechapelhb.org? Let me know. Send me an email. Say, I prayed that prayer. We will set you up with a Bible and other great materials that will help you. Thank you for joining today. I want to pray you off a blessing, all of you. Thank you for your continual support, you who call Hope Chapel your church. It's times like this that I'm so grateful for the care and the faithfulness of dedicated men and women, even boys and girls, that contribute, say, here, Lord, is my first fruits. We get a chance to share messages like this, enrich ourselves in the Word, and pass it on to others. You've been a part of that. So let me just pray that blessing now for all of you, and thank you. Thank you so much. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon all of you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. The Lord bless you. And I want to thank you now for coming. May God strengthen, especially those who surrendered their hearts today to Christ. We'll see you soon. Goodbye. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe? Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.